Okay, so this is a very, very beautiful piece from Rav Matisyahu Salomon. We're going to see a few yisaidas from it. David HaMelech Amar, L'cha Amar Libi Bakshu Panay Es Panecha Hashem Avakish. Pasuk in Tehillim, L'cha Amar Libi, to you my heart has said, Bakshu Panay, I am seeking out the face, Es panecha Hashem avakesh, your face, Hashem, that's what I seek out. So Rashi says, Bishvilcha, Bishlichu Secha, Aymer li libi, Bakshu kulam Yisrael es panay. That when I'm doing your shlichas, my heart says that the whole Kla Yisrael is seeking you out, Vanishamealai, Es panecha Hashem avakesh. And I hear it, and your face I seek out. Achshav, says Rav Matisyahu, Soif Rosh Hashanah, this is going on the end of Rosh Hashanah, after Hashanah was over, Acher Yom Shel Avodah V'Aliyah B'Seich Kal Kadosh Shel B'nei Taira, Margishim Anachnu Shel Ibeinu Aymer Lana B'Shlichusai Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that we who are on a mission of Hashem, Bakshu Panai, we are seeking out your face, V'anu Aynim, meaning Hashem is saying, that I'm seeking out your face, v'anu einim es panecha Hashem avakesh. Hashem says to us, I want you to seek me out, and we respond to Hashem es panecha Hashem avakesh. Now, the reason why I'm learning this with you is because it's a very historical piece in a sense, because he's speaking about when what happened was that in Beis Medrash Gavaya, Rav Matisyahu Salomon was hired as the Mashgiach by Rav Nassan Vachfoger. Rav Nassan Vachfoger was the Mashgiach before him, and he was really, I think Rav Nassan, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Nassan was there even before Rav Aaron was in Lakewood, Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Nassan came first and established it, if I'm not mistaken. And then afterwards, Rav Aaron came. So Rav Nassan was around for a very long time. He was no youngster. And he knew that his time was, you know, he was a very big tzaddik. He would always walk around with a suitcase from Nassim Vachfoger, and they discovered that the suitcase had in it always like a special beged for when Mashiach comes. He was such a maimon in Hashem, in Mashiach coming, that he would literally carry around an attaché case, and in the attaché case was a bekesha, like a special beged for when Mashiach came. When I was working on my book, Great Jewish Treasures, so I had heard about this story and I wanted to get a picture. You know, it was a book about artifacts of Gedalim, so I wanted a picture of that suitcase. So you had to be a very big detective, you know, to put out such a book. You had to like nudge everybody in the world, make everybody mishuga until they admitted that they had it or something else. So what happened was I contacted a relative, I don't know if it was a son, a grandson, somebody, and I said, do you know where that suitcase is? It was after his nifter a few years. So he says, yeah, I know exactly where it is. I said, okay, can I come and take a picture of it? He says, all right. He says, let me just make sure. Anyway, he's gone for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes. He's looking all over. He thought it was like somewhere. It was lost. It got lost. And I never got a picture of it. And that happened many times. And I was like looking for certain like famous pieces, and either they lost it or they knew, like there was a certain sefer that the Chavetz Chaim had, and there was a known story around it, so I really wanted it. And I spoke to a relative, and the relative told me that it was lent to a kala. They used to lend it out to a kala. It was like a pstilim or something. And the kala, after the chasm was over, I was supposed to return it, but she was in a taxi with her chasm, and they left it in the taxi. It's a priceless, priceless, it's not shy to explain how priceless. If it would go today on auction, it would be $1 million. And this kala left it in the taxi, and veinena kilaka chesed, it was gone. And that was, that's why I think my book was very important, because just to be able to, you know, just to have like a documentation of the fact that these things existed, because I don't know, in 20, 40 years, I don't know if a lot of these things are still going to be around for whatever reason. But so Rav Nassan Vachfoger was a tremendous tzaddik. Another story that I heard of him about him is that his wife used to be a mechanecha. She had a lot of girls come in. She was like a Beis Yaakov, either a principal or a teacher. And he had told people later years that whenever his wife came with all these girls into the house, whether they were eating there on Shabbos or whether they were just there to get a bracha from him or whatever, he had developed a way to look at people, but he wasn't looking at them. It just looked like the girls thought that he was actually making eye contact with them, but he wasn't. He was like looking off to the side. He had like some cool thing to do with his eyes that they thought that he was looking, but he really wasn't. He was like a real, real tzaddik. And then when he was getting older, he wanted very much to replace himself with a younger mashgiach, but you know, I wasn't available at the time. I was very young. I'm joking, and I didn't have to say I was joking, but so he knew who he wanted. He wanted Rav Matisyahu Salomon. Rav Matisyahu Salomon was the mashgiach in Gateshead Yeshiva, which is like the largest yeshiva. It's like the Lakewood of Europe, and Rav Matisyahu had a sterling reputation. He was a big baal machshava. He was a great orator. And he had a heart of gold. He was a real tzaddik, and he knew that that's who he wanted to go. The only problem is that he was happy in Gateshead. He didn't want to move to Lakewood. And he worked very hard on like convincing him, and you know, that it's important, and it's a much bigger job, and it's a much, you know, and it wouldn't just be Lakewood, it'd be the whole America. And it's true, he ended up having such hashpa on the whole country. But Rav Matisyahu finally was able to convince him, and Rav Matisyahu came. And for a while, I guess they were co-mashgichim. Then he was nifter not too much after the changing of the guard, as it were. I think he was nifter shortly thereafter. But that's the story. So this is like a historic piece that I wanted to learn with you, because listen to what he says. Ritzayni lo galas lechem. Hergesh Shahayli Brashan. I wanted to share with you. This is he's talking to his to a chabura in Lakewood. A hergesh that I had in Rosh Hashanah, a feeling that I had, Sha'asa Roshem Gadol Alai, that made a very big impression on me. Ubetuchani Shagam B'Shamay Masreshan. I'm positive, says Rav Matisyahu, that in heaven there was also a great Roshem that was made by this. What happened? That's what they do sometimes when at the time he was still alive, but then later he died, so they put shlita, which means that to Rashi Tevis that he should live a long life, and then in brackets, atzal, he had died since then. So before Tkiya Shafer, Reb Nosson Vachvo got up to say Divrei Musar Nisairus. This is what like the Lakewood yeshivas do this. This is the minhag. I remember when I was in Long Beach for high school and 1 year Beis Medrash, which is a branch of Lakewood, the Rashiva, Rabbi Yitzchak Feilshak, Zechut Tzadik Levracha, also used to get up before the Tzkiyas and speak. And it was very impactful. It was very, it made a very big reishim. It's a very powerful moment of Rosh Hashanah, right before the Tkiyas. Like, you can't get a better time to make a Reishim. And anyway, that was the minute. I always wanted to speak here before the Tkiyas, but I was voted down. But anyway, so he got up to speak Divrei Cyrus before the Tkiyas. Kol HaKol Kishesh Meis Ish Bezos Hashem. And the entire community, 600 people, Hikshivu Beritzinus, everybody was paying attention and trying to hang on every single word that the Mashgiach was about to say. Vitzipu Lishmaya Mimenu Divrei Kodesh, they wanted to hear his holy words. V'af Echad Lo Yishama Shum Davar, and nobody was able to hear because he was very old, very frail, very sick. There was no microphone and he was speaking, but nobody in the room was able to hear a word that he was saying. Afal Pikain, here Kinu Raisha Mikshivabis Amtsus Hakoiches Lachol Erech Hazman, Betikvash Afim Loishamu Adkan, Efshar Adain Yishmu Davarma. And everybody was at the, what would happen if you were there? If you were like trying to hear and, you know, you couldn't hear, it was inaudible. So I think someone was like, can't hear, it's ridiculous. But, you know, no one said a peep. And everybody was like listening and being very, you know, respectful. But more than respectful, they were listening with the hope that maybe, even though I haven't understood or heard a word until now, maybe I'm going to be able to chop a word after that. And this made a very big reishim on Rav Matisyahu when he came to Lakewood for, I guess maybe this is the first Rosh Hashanah that he was there. Es panecha Hashem avakesh. And that was like a semblance of Es panecha Hashem avakesh, that I'm seeking out Hashem's face. That's how, that was the hergish that it had in Matisyahu, that 600 people were seeking out Hashem. They were trying to hear the Dvar Hashem, they were trying to hear the message of Rav Nassim. Kol kach hu abikosh v'adrisho l'shmei Dvar Hashem izik ne'adar. So much was the desire and the seeking out to hear the word of Hashem from the Ziknei Hadar, from the elders of the generation, and similarly, we want to be able to attain this year madrigas that we haven't attained until now. And we should hope that our elders would be able to continue leading us on the straight path. Because nobody in the room was able to hear what the Mashkiach had said, I guess Rav Matisyahu was able to see on a piece of paper or something what he was supposed to be saying, even though he couldn't get anything out. I'm going to add a little bit to it. I'm going to supplement. I'm going to add something to it. HaMashkiach Shal, the question the Mashkiach had was, Mao Hemshech Lashon HaTfilah B'Zichreinos Milei Nifkad Kayem Azar. What does it mean in the Tfilah of Zichreinos in Rosh Hashanah, Milei Nifkad Kayem Azar? Who is not remembered on this day of Rosh Hashanah? Everybody's remembered in Rosh Hashanah. Ki Zecher Kal Yetzul Fanechaba, because the remembrance of every creature in the world comes before Hashem in Rosh Hashanah. Maisa Ishu B'Kudasai, the action of man, Upekudasai, and his mission, Va'alilais Mitzadei Gaver, and all of the steps of man that are supposed to take place, everything is reckoned on Rosh Hashanah. Machshavais Adam Tachbulaisav, the thoughts of man, his plans in life, the Yitzre Malei Ish, Ashrei Ish Shelo Yishkachecha, fortunate is the man who doesn't forget you, Uven Adam Yitzametzbach, and a person, a human that has strength in you, has courage in you. Kidar Shechalem Leikashlov Leikomul Anetzagol Chaisimach. Those that seek you out will never falter, and they will never be embarrassed, those that have trust in you. So what's this sentence going on here? Mao HaKesher Bein Asher Yishleish Gachecha. Fortunate is the man that doesn't forget you. Uben Adam Yisametzbach. To what we said before, Maisa Yishuv Kudasai, Va'alilais Mitzadei Gaver. What's the connection? Fortune is the man that doesn't forget you and a person that takes strength in you. Before we said, Maisa Yishuv Kudasai, that what comes before Hashem is the Maisa Yish, what you're going to be doing this year, and all of your mission in life, and what's the catch between that and fortune is the man, Shalei Yishkachacha. The Tiritz Mashkiach, and Rav Nassan answered, "Shetzrichem leida shebashas hadin nimtzam b'mocham b'chazakum." When you are going through a din, so you're in a great war. It's a great battle going on. Ubashas melchama ikar shloi lira. The most important thing in battle, and you can ask, I guess, the soldiers right now in Gaza, what's the most important thing in battle? Don't be afraid. It must be very scary to be there. You don't know who's coming out of a tunnel, who's shooting at you, if there's a mine, if there's a bomb, if there's crazy, you don't know what's going on. But and it's natural to be afraid. But if you're afraid, you can't function. You're not going to be able to accomplish anything. So he says, "Chizku v'imtzu v'altir v'altartzim v'neim." You have to be strong. It's a pasuk, and be courageous and don't be afraid of anything. Amelchama daf min halten mit ala kaychas. When you're engaged in war, you have to do it with all of your strength, with all of your concentration. V'tzvichem l'vtayach shenuchal l'natzeches amelchama b'estabkes b'Hashem. And you have to have confidence that you'll be able to be victorious when you are attaching yourself to Hashem in din. And therefore, Asher Ishalo Yishkachecha uben Admi Samitzbach, that fortune is the person that will not forget. You can't forget Hashem. You have to constantly keep Hashem. You can't have Hesach Hadas when you're in Milchama, and you can't have Hesach Hadas when you're in Din. You have to remember Hashem. So fortune is the person that doesn't forget you and who has strength in you. And that was the Vardar of Nasan, that you have to, that's the connection. That everybody's going before Hashem in Din. Maisi Shabukudasi, everything that you're gonna do this year. But you have to, there's one thing they have to do. There's a Milchama taking place now, and you can't forget about Hashem. If you forget about Hashem, then you're in trouble. It's like being in war and you're spacing out. You're thinking about something that's random. You can't do that. You have to be totally in. And when you're davening on Rosh Hashanah, and for that matter, throughout the year, we have to totally daven with all of our kaychas, because if not, then we're in trouble. But especially on Yom HaDin, so that's what the connection is. Yarech Hashem Yamav Shiuchal HaMshach L'Adrichin. I just wanted to share that with you. I know it's not Rosh Hashanah, but it's an important piece historically, I think, of the sort of this transfer of the great Musar of Rav Nassim Apfogel and the great Musar of Matisyahu Salman, who we're learning about this year after his Patira. I want to share with you a vart that is really, I think, nicely connected to this, but it's from Rav Nassim Bachvogel. It's one of my favorite, all-time favorite pieces. I don't know if I've said it recently, so I hope it's new to you. And if it's not, it's good chazara. Rav Nassim says, and it's the most surprising thing that he would say this, because Rav Nassim was about into this world as I am into, Saturn. The world was nothing to Rav Nassim. Like I told you before, he was working. He had his eyes able to not focus on girls. He was able to have a suitcase with him at all times with Mashiach. He's obviously living on a different plane. But listen to the yisai that he said. He asked the question. I found this myself. I don't know if anyone really ever. It's like tucked in the middle of one of his svarim, like in the middle of like a very thick sefer. I just happened to open it up one day, and this svart was staring at me, and I've used it 1,000 times since. Listen to what he says. He says, "What is the mishagas of the world with sports?" Now, I didn't know Rav Nassim Apfogel even knew what sports is. Literally, I mean, I'm being honest with you. Like, I don't. Sports to Rav Nassim Apfogel is like you telling me about quantum physics. It's something that's like no shayches. No shaykhs. So he says, but why is it that people are so crazy about sports? Like, if you think about it, okay, it's. I always say it's very good to play basketball. It's geschmack, you play basketball, you play tennis, you play hockey, you're fine. But like, what are people going, right, to like a football game in Wisconsin in the middle of the winter, dressed like Adam Rishon Kaidem Achet, and like with a wedge of cheese on their forehead. This is not Rav Nassim talking, obviously, but a wedge of cheese on their forehead, nothing underneath that wedge of cheese, unless there's like a heater in there, like I don't get it, but like they're sitting out and watching this team play, and it's not a short game, it could take 2 hours, how long is a football game, and maybe more, and are they crazy? I mean, honestly, if somebody would give me free tickets, the Super Bowl, I might consider going to, because it's in a nice climate. But like, but to go in Buffalo, like people are going to Buffalo, and what did anyone ever go to a football game in the winter and like, no, any, you could be honest, you did in Chicago. Oh, yeah. It was cold.
It was like -20 winter.
That's it.
And you sat through the whole game?
Yeah.
I'd be in the bathroom the whole game. I just like...
We had hand warmers.
So, It was by like the CMA Shas. I couldn't be by the CMA. Anyone by the CMA Shas this past time? It's freezing. It was ridiculous. Anyway, so he says, what's the world going crazy for? You have a football game. You have basketball. Okay, it's such indoors, but like in the rest of America's not so into soccer, right? But in parts of in South America, right? They're crazy, literally crazy. In Brazil and in all these places, they literally will kill. If their team wins, they'll kill. If their team loses, they'll kill. Right? It's a mishigas. And Europe, you're all over Europe, and Eretz Yisrael is very into soccer. Like, what's going on? Like, what is it? Why would you, what do you get from it? I understand the guys on the field, they're getting paid millions of dollars. What do you get from it? You have to pay, a couple hundred bucks to go to the game, and you're rooting for your team. They don't care about you. What is the rationale of sports? Is it that, what do you have from it? Why are people doing this? How do they fill up stadiums? So that's Reb Nosson's question. I think it's a very, very good question, I guess if you grew up with it, you don't understand the question, because what do you mean? I love sport. But like, what do you get from it, really? So he says like this. He says, the Vilna Gaon says that the entire world, the entire purpose of man in this world, why are we put here? It's to engage in milchama. He says we're supposed to be engaged in battle, and the battle, of course, is a battle against our Yetzirah. We're supposed to constantly, that's the main reason why we're here. We're here just to do milchama against our Yetzirah. And we're supposed to try to win. A lot of times we win, a lot of times we lose, but that's okay. We win some battles, we lose. As long as we'll end up winning a lot more battles than the battles that we lost, we could still eke out a win. But that's why we're here. That's what the Gaon says. Which means to say, says Reb Nosson, that every human being in this world is put here to do battle. They're warriors. They're doing battle. The only thing is that we know, everybody in this world knows that they're here to do battle. They just don't know the whole gun. They know that they're supposed to do battle. They just don't chop that it's an internal battle, that it's a battle with your demons, with your evil inclination, with the Yetzirah, with your whatever you want to call it, but there's an internal battle that has to be waged. But they know that they have to fight some battle. And not everybody is volunteering to the U.S. Army or Marines or the IDF. So what people do, this is very deep, is that they become a fan of a team. Because he says that what sports really is, and I don't know if anyone ever thought of it this way, I certainly didn't, is that sports is really like a little battlefield. Football, soccer, hockey, they're all pretty much the same. You're trying to gain, to invade the other person's space, the other person's territory, and then eke out a win. Score a goal, score a touchdown, kick a ball into a net. That's pretty much what all these games are, aren't they? Except for baseball is different story. No one really understands what baseball is.
So but, baseball's okay.
What?
So baseball's okay?
Baseball's fine, yeah. Okay. But everything else, hockey, football, basketball, soccer, it's a milchama. And so he says that when I wear, let's say, I'm rooting for my team, I'm rooting for whatever, the Warriors, the Patriots, whoever it is that I'm rooting for. And that's my team. So I'm engaged vicariously in a battle, because it is a battle on the field. When I root for for my team, it's like I'm a loichem. I'm engaging in a battle, and everybody gets into it. They're literally believing that this is their very essence of life. This is their purpose of life, because it's battle. I'm rooting for a team. I'm on a team. Okay, I'm not actually on the field, but I'm part of the army. I'm part of this team, and I'm rooting for them, and I'm living it. And that's in their minds, that their chayiv of battle through that. Now, he says, obviously, it's not true. That's not the reason why we're here. We're not here to follow sports. We're here to do an internal battle. But they never went to the Svad. So they don't understand the difference between that type of battle and this type of battle. But that's really, you know, and I think it ties in very nicely to his Svard over here, that when you're in Din, or when you're in Milchama, you have to completely be into the Milchama. You can't be distracted. And that's what we're doing in our life. According to the Gain, that we're all supposed to be battling it out every single day and every single night. It's a battle. But you have to, when you battle, you have to really try to do it with all of your kaichas, because we know what happens if we're not doing it with our kaichas, or we're not putting our all into the battle, then we either surrender or we become weak and we become, you know, and we slip. And so every day of our life, we have to try as hard as we can to fight the battle and to try to win more battles than we lose. But don't get depressed. If you lose battles, that means that at least you're still in the war. And at least if you have a conscience and we feel bad when we lose a battle, that's okay. That's good, because it means that you still care. The problem is when we completely throw in the towel and say, I don't even care anymore. That's when the whole war is over. So we have to try as hard. And the Eibishter knows how hard it is for us. He understands that it's Ki Yada Yitzreinu. He created the Yitzhara. The Yitzhara is not a small thing to battle. The Yitzhara is the hardest enemy. It's an enemy that plagued the Avos. It plagued David HaMelech. It plagued Reuven. All the greatest people in history had a Yitzhara. And it's the same Yitzhara. We're fighting the very same forces that the Avos HaKadoshim fought, that Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron, Yeshua, everybody fought the same Yitzhara. So it's not an easy battle, but we have to fight. We have to try to fight, and the more we fight, and the harder we fight, and we can notch certain victories, it's very, very important. You see in Eretz Yisrael, you know, what's going on, Rachman al-Litzlan in Gaza, like, you know, it's very, very difficult. It's a difficult thing. Milchama is not pretty. And Milchama is not, there's no such thing as getting a perfect score in a Milchama. You see that, Rachman al-Litzlan, you know, these soldiers, I always say, like, you know, you see the soldiers that were killed, and they all look like tzaddikim. It's an amazing thing. And because they are tzaddikim, they're kedeshim. They died al kiddush Hashem to defend Klal Yisrael, defend the Medina, and they're holy people. But they all look holy. They have beautiful faces, all of them. But, you know, that's what battles are. Battles are, they're not pretty. And as even if they, you know, if Klal Yisrael is doing well on that battlefield, but there's losses. So that's the way it is with every battle. That's just the reality. So we're going to have losses, but we have to continue the fight, and we have to understand that this is our purpose. Don't get frustrated and say, like, no one else has to fight. I'm the only guy struggling. It's not true. Every single person in the world is struggling. The biggest rabbis are struggling. So everybody is struggling. So we also could struggle a little bit, but don't give in. Don't surrender. Just continue to fight. And even if you lose once in a while, if you lose, you gotta like be able to get back on the horse and fight another day. And that's, you know, that's all part of it. But just continue understanding that we're here to fight a battle. And this is we're living in very, very difficult times, and it's, I don't know how many of you are, you know, as obsessed as I am with watching every single day, like, what's going on, and it's, I really want to stop because it's like very bad, but it's not like it's making me a little crazy, but these are difficult times that we're living in, and the more that we are able to daven and do our own Aveda in our own personal battles and in a ruchnistic sense, that will help the whatever is going on in the physical battle. I spoke about in Shalosh Shudas the craziness of what's going on right now in Eretz Yisrael, and how we were doing so well until, you know, since Simchas Torah we were you know, there was such achdus and everybody was helping out, and we were, you know, they're making barbecues for the soldiers and tzitzis and tefillin and all these campaigns. There was such tremendous achdus, and all of a sudden, you know, and we were winning. And then the Eitzahara gets in, of course, and they said, oh, we need to draft all of the Haredim, we have to pull them out of the Beis Medrash, and it's starting already this week. I think they're starting to draft, you know, certain yeshiva bachrim, and I'm not getting into, you know, the hashkafa behind that, but it's just sad that, you know, that it has to, that somebody, that there always has to be a pirud just at the most critical moments. Like, if we could just, like, keep the achdus going. So sometime after the war is over, maybe we could figure this out, these issues. But like right now in the middle of Muhammad, the soldiers are doing fine on the battlefield and the Bnei Torah are doing fine in the Beis Medrash. And just let things be. Don't like create all this pirud, because this division will cause nothing, but it won't help the situation in Eretz Yisrael. We won't win the war more because of the period. Probably, Rachman al-San, you know, the opposite. But that's the way it is. But we, at least here in America, that we're not having to have these decisions about, you know, being recruited, fighting, learning. When we're learning, we should be learning. And when we're davening, we should be davening. We should get up every morning for davening. And we should come to Seder every day. And when we're davening, we should be davening. When we're learning, and when we're engaged in the battle with the Yetzer, we should really try to re-strengthen ourselves, and mitzvah Hashem, all of that, every little time that we are able to miskaber over the Yetzer, big or small, whether it means, you know, Shmir Seinayim, whether it means Lashon Hara, whether it means anything, any aver that we may be doing, and then we stop ourselves, that will create an amazing amount of Shefa, Bracha, for everything in the world, for every yid in the world, for the chayalim, all of that will accrue to Klal Yisrael, because we're fighting the war effort in this way, in this small way, with our own yitzhar, with our own learning, with our own davening. And mitzvah Hashem, we should see a nitzachin very soon, and Mashiach should hopefully be here right away.